Wild Card Wednesday. Yeah, man, Wild Card Wednesday. Get your requests in, 312-981-7200, any artist, any song, anything. 773 area code requested Elvis Viva Las Vegas. Regular listener who's actually there in Vegas requested this, where it's only at this point, at this time, 100 degrees. Oh, they're having a cold spell in Vegas. It's only 100 degrees. Jeez. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, we are talking about weird Guinness World Records, strange ones. And as you know, Dan is a member of one of the Guinness World Book of Records. And Esmeralda and I are also a part of holding a Guinness Book of World Record. And Dan, why don't you tell everybody what yours was for?
St. Patrick High School, my alma mater, holds the record for the largest foot bag circle.
That is hacky sack?
Yes. I think we have to call it footbag because hacky sack is technically a
trademark. Oh, it's like Kleenex or, yeah, okay.
Yes. Back in my freshman year, all 1,000 students gathered around the school, lined the streets of Belmont Avenue, and we all had to tap the hacky sack with our foot once, and it lasted a couple hours, and we made the Guinness Book of World Records.
That's fantastic. That is fantastic. What are people walking down Belmont? What were they thinking? You know? Somebody going to the 7-Eleven. What's going on there?
The old Mr. Submarine.
The old Mr. Yeah, the old Mr. Submarine, yeah.
Trying to get a sandwich and all these kids are out here kicking something.
Well, that's the record that you're a part of. And Esmeralda and I, without knowing each other, we are part of the same record. You and I are a part of the same world record.
By the way, 4,436 people total.
For our
all
record?
All have the record, yes.
Okay.
That's including
it just
us.
Seems like more people were there. Maybe not all of them had the glasses.
Yeah, not all of them probably. Big old party poopers.
Well, tell everybody what we were part of.
We were, our record was the most people wearing Groucho Marx glasses.
Right, in one place.
Yes.
They had a screening and Tuesday nights, and now they're still doing this now in Grant Park. Now they're doing it at Millennium Park. Grant Park, they would have the Tuesday night outdoor movie screenings, and my ex-wife and I used to go every single Tuesday. And one night they did Duck Soup, which is one of the greatest movies ever made and one of the funniest. And the idea was to get your Groucho glasses. And everybody wear the Groucho glasses, and they record it. They film it. They take pictures. They document it. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to break the world record for most people wearing Groucho glasses in one place.
Right. This is July of 2009.
Yeah.
I also was with a now ex. I wonder how many people
were still dating.
Were there with an ex.
With an ex, yeah. My ex-wife and I, you know, before we, because at that point we were newly married. We got married in May of 2009, so we were newlyweds. But we had been dating we dated for a total of almost 8 years. We didn't get married until 6 years into the relationship. So, but anyway, we had gone every Tuesday. We were regulars. And the thing about it was, there were a lot more people than 4,000 there. But I guess did they just have a certain amount of glasses? Because they must have run out.
Probably. Because that is probably the case. They probably had enough. They had enough.
Enough
to
break the record.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the deal was when you got there, you got your spot, you put your blanket down and your wine and you're not supposed to have wine, but we did. And yeah, you put your blanket down and stuff and you walk up to the front and some dude dressed up like Groucho, who was actually in Animal Crackers. Goodman Theater at the time was doing a production of Animal Crackers. In fact, my friend Molly Brennan played Harpo in it. She was the first woman to ever play Harpo, and she was fantastic in it. But anyway, so you go up to the front, and they give you a pair of glasses, and then you go and you sit back down in your blanket, and then everybody took the picture, and we broke the record.
Mm-hmm.
And the movie was awesome.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Oh, God, that movie is so funny. So funny. And the other thing about Esmeralda, it's so funny, and it's like 69 minutes long. you laugh for under an hour and 10 minutes, and then you're like, all right, we can go now.
That's I like a short.
Yeah.
Short and to the point.
Especially when there's a laugh every 3 seconds. So, all right. Well, those are the records that we're a part of. Hacky sack and Groucho glasses. These are very important. This is important stuff, Dan. I hope you realize that.
That's why you have a plaque.
That's that's right. That's why I've got the Walk of Fame plaque, because I participated in a Groucho Glasses record. I'm sure when who votes for the Walk of Fame, by the way? How did I get in? What happened there?
There is a nomination process and then the management votes.
The management votes, right? Nomination process and then the management votes. Okay.
I think some people have, because when I nominated you, whatever, many months ago, Todd Manley sent me an email 30 seconds later saying, hey, don't say anything, but this is going to happen. So, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow, man. You nominated me?
Well, I mean, I think it's... I honestly would have nominated anyway, but...
Even if you didn't work with me?
Right, but I nominated before we worked with you, I think, but yeah.
Oh, well, thanks.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that.
But yeah, I mean, you know, that is part of the job of any producer, is if their host has any... you have to nominate.
Yeah, exactly. You would think, yeah, as my producer, it would behoove you to nominate me. All right, well, thank you for that. That's nice. That was interesting. The 2 seconds later, Todd Manley sent
it. Like literally, I sent the email like 5:45 and then like 5:46, like, hey, keep this on the down low.
But man, that's incredible. Well, anyway, here's another thank you for that. Thank you, everybody. That was awesome. All right, so in pursuit of a Guinness fame, two men ride the entire Boston subway system in record-breaking time. Now, I've not read this story. I'm going to read it. But aren't they at the mercy of the public transportation system here?
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
I mean,
trains are not on time.
No, they're not. two intrepid commuters may have ridden the Massachusetts Bay Transportation Authority, the MBTA, all the way into the Guinness World Records. According to the Boston Globe, on Friday, August 18th, locals Alex Cox and Dominic DeLuvisio visited every single stop in the city's subway system, more than 125 stations, in little under 7.5 hours. That's pretty impressive. The record they hope to snag completing the journey in the fastest time possible is both unofficial and brand new, but the two hope that it will make the official Guinness Book of World Record category once they submit photos, videos, a logbook, and other documentation. They conceived the stunt more than 2 years ago after learning another Beantown resident who completed the challenge in about 8 hours simply for bragging rights. And one of the guys, Cox, who works for the... Oh, he works for the Department of Transportation. There's your in, Esmeralda.
They shut down everything. Like, nobody can get on the train.
Everything was an express. Suddenly, every train turned into an express. let's see. So they submitted an application to Guinness on the 18th after months of planning. How do you plan it for months?
You gotta get
the route. Okay, I gotta get the route right. Okay, mm-hmm. I was gonna say, just go to a train, get on it, get off, get on another train.
Right, but you gotta what's the easier ways.
So in Boston as well, they have the color system like we do.
They
have the red line, they have the red, the orange, green,
yes,
the blue. And so they see 5:25 a.m. they jumped on a red line train at Alewife Station. Amid much jostling, running, bladder holding, and live tweeting, the duo finished the entire red line in 90 minutes before tackling the Matapan orange, green, and blue lines. During the final stretch of the trip, the record seekers were joined by officials of the MBTA, according to the New England News. Right before 1 o'clock, DeLuzio and Cox reached the blue line's Wonderland stop, signaling the end of their journey. They celebrated the ride, which was reportedly around 15 minutes shorter than their predecessor's attempt, with friends, MBTA officials, and the media. I think everything went incredibly smoothly. We didn't have any major delays or any breakups. So there you go.
And since I went last year
to Boston, yeah.
Yeah, and we just relied on the trains the entire time, and they are fairly efficient.
Okay. All right.
For the most part efficient.
Well, they're waiting to find out if indeed they did break a record that they made up in the Guinness World. But we have other really weird Guinness World Records here. Some very strange ones. We'll talk about that. And if you participated in a world record, 312-981-7200. We'll take a break. And then after the 4 o'clock news, would Esmeralda buy that? All right. News is next. The Louisiana law gonna get you, Amos. It ain't legal hunting alligator down in the swamp, boy. Now everybody blames his old man for making him mean as a snake. When Amos Moses was a boy, his daddy would use him for alligator bait. Tie a rope around his waist and throw him in the swamp. Alligator bait in the Louisiana bayou. I can't even explain how much I love this song. Oh, man. 630 area code, Wild Card Wednesday. Jerry Reed with Amos Moses. Tie a rope around his head, throw him in the swamp. Alligator bait in the Louisiana Bayou. That song rules, man. I had the single. I had the 45 of that. I used to play it 53,000 times a day. Oh, Jerry Reed. I love Jerry Reed. He blew us off, though, one time. Did I ever tell you this, Dan?
No.
He's passed away now, and I don't want to speak ill of the dead because I love Jerry Reed. I love his music. I loved him. He rules in Smokey and the Bandit. In general, he was awesome. Good guitar player. Funny dude. But he blew us off, man. Andy and I booked him. This was after I forced Andy to watch Smokey and the Bandit because I discovered that Andy had never seen Smokey and the Bandit. He'd been my producer at this point for about 8 years.
It's nice to know you're consistent, making Andy watch movies, making Esmeralda watch movies.
Well, listen, I find it kind of inconceivable at this point. Have I ever asked you if you've seen Smokey and the Bandit, Esmeralda?
No, you probably have.
Have you seen it?
No.
Dan, you've seen it.
I have, yeah.
Okay. Vic just walked away from the mic. I'm just wondering.
He ran away.
He
doesn't have time for a movie.
He can't ask me about Smokey and the Bandit.
He's got a bar date with Lady Gaga.
No, he's studying up on all the. He's probably just trying to tap into Esmeralda's psyche because we have the big battle of would Esmeralda buy that coming up. But anyway, it was he worked for me for 8 years. We worked together. He worked for me. He didn't work for me. Jeez, what an idiot. Anyway. He was my producer for 8 years, and I'm like, you've never seen Smokey and the Bandit? How is that even humanly possible? So he watched it, and I made him take copious notes. And we did like a 15-minute segment on his review, his and Maggie's review of Smokey and the Bandit. They didn't like it as much as I did. So, but anyway, this was like right after that. I was like, we got to get Jerry Reed on the show. So we set it all up. We had the date, time, all that stuff. And Dan, live, not taped.
Ugh.
Yeah, well, you know how that feels, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we're waiting. We call, nothing. He's nothing. Nothing. Blew us off, no explanation. Agent didn't call back, the whole thing. I was so excited to have Jerry Reed on. It didn't happen. Ugh. Alligator bait in the Louisiana Bayou. He laughs a lot in his songs, too. Like, in between verses, he'll do the ha-ha-ha, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay. All right, here's some weird. Are you ready for some weird world records?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so these dudes in Boston are waiting to find out whether they broke. This is happening. It just happened 4 or 5 days ago. These guys ran and rode the entire public transportation train system in Boston in 7 hours or something. So they're waiting to see if that's a record, which is kind of strange. But here are some of the other ones. 1978 wrestlers Billy and Benny McCrary are dubbed the world's heaviest twins at 743 pounds and 723 pounds, respectively. Good Lord. 743 pounds? Whew. How about this one? In 1988, Blackie, Esmeralda, Blackie the cat, becomes the wealthiest cat when his owner dies and leaves the cat $12.5 million.
Wow.
What do you think the cat did with that money?
A lot of catnip.
A lot of tuna. You think?
Bought that big cat jungle house.
Yep. Bought and destroyed all cucumbers anywhere near his house. Oh, man. 1992, Brian Berg set the record for the largest house of cards at 75 stories. What? 75 stories in Spirit Lake, Iowa. Well, that's pretty damned impressive. That's That's amazing. Esmeralda, you think that's 75 stories?
I mean, could you imagine when you're at, like, 20th story?
Yeah.
And it falls.
And some dude sneezes.
Oh, man.
Some guy walking by sneezes. And the whole thing, like, what?
That would be really cool to see it fall, though. Like, once they're done, you know.
Yeah, or once he set the record. Once he set the record and then just not watch it all go down.
Yeah.
1999, Gary Bashaw Jr. set the record for most milkshake dispensed through the nose when 1.82 ounces of milk and chocolate powder came out of his nose to set a Guinness World Record on the TV program in Los Angeles, California. What?
Do you think he just did that? Or it was like a...
He probably drank it and then shot it out of his nose and dispensed it out of his nose. So he put like the powder in his mouth and then the milk in his mouth and then just blew it out of his nose.
Wait, why wouldn't he mix it beforehand?
I don't know.
What?
It was going to mix inside his cranium.
I couldn't... I'm just wondering, like, how do you get to that place where I'm going to do this as a world record?
Yeah.
Like,
I don't
know. Does he just naturally spew out?
Where there are people who can do weird stuff with their nose and their eyes. You ever see those people who can squirt milk out of their eyes?
Ugh. Yes, I've seen that.
Yeah, that's real pleasant.
I mean, everything's connected.
Yeah, I know. Don't mess with it. That's my thing.
I mean, have you ever eaten something and it goes and you somehow get a piece of it up your nose?
Actually, I don't think so.
No? Like, just tiny bits of food, like, because it goes up your whatever
cavity. I don't think that's ever, I can tell you this, it's happened when I vomited.
Oh. Well, I've had it, like, you blow your nose, and you're like, why is there a piece of rice in my nose?
Wow.
Because it's gone, it went up the wrong tube. It went up rather than down.
Up and into your nostril. All right. All right. Smudge, a parrot, this is in 2001. Smudge, a parrot, set a record for most keys removed from a key ring by a parrot by slipping off 10 in under 2 minutes. And then in 2009, he got all the way up to 22 keys. All right, Smudge. Okay, this is a good one. I like this one. 2008, this was in Germany. Kevin Shelley set a record for most toilet seats broken by one's head in 1 minute by shattering 46 over his head.
I wonder if your friend Scott Oaken could get a record.
For breaking chairs at concerts?
Yeah.
Well, you get three at the Hooters Bryan Adams concert. Three metal folding chairs destroyed by Scott Oaken. One during the Hooters set. Two during Bryan Adams' set.
You should see if he's up for it.
Yeah.
To try to break that record.
All right. We'd have to take him to see Bryan Adams and the Hooters, though. That would be the only way that he could be motivated enough to bust more chairs.
Well, it would be amazing because I'm sure they're not speaking on a regular basis. No. So it would be a great thing.
It would be great to see those guys together. And you know what? I would bust chairs if we could get Flickerstick to come back.
Well, it's a whole separate
record. Hey, by the way,
record.
Can I just mention this? You remember the last time we mentioned Flickerstick and I was talking about how great Bands on the Run was?
Yeah.
There is a Flickerstick fan page
that
heard it and shared it.
So I wonder, they're still people that believe.
I'm a fan of this. I'm a fan of the Flickerstick fan page. I'm a member of this fan page. And I think if the name of the fan page, I'm not making this up, Esmeralda. The name of the fan page is the Flickerstick Reunion fan page. It's I'm not making it up. That existed, I think, before we started talking about how I want a reunion of Flickerstick. So anyway, they got a hold of the podcast, and they put it on their page. They shared it, and they shared it to members of the band.
Oh.
And they said, we got to make this happen. And then it was like, go to 12 minutes, 38 seconds, and listen to the love that this guy has for Flickerstick. And they sent it to members of the band. So this might happen, Esmeralda.
You've never met them, right?
No. I saw them twice in concert, but I never met them.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Yeah.
If you got to meet them, your head would explode.
I would just be really happy.
We do want to thank the Flickerstick Reunion Concert Social Media Experiment page.
Should we? Now we should just send them stuff. Like right now, be like, here's
yes,
a clip.
Send them this stuff. So, yes. Got to reach out to Brandon, man. He's the lead singer. I don't think the two brothers talk anymore.
Oh, well, that's a shame. I wouldn't mind seeing an in-studio, live in studio, you know, them interviewing and then playing a couple songs.
Here's the other thing about the band. They got sober, too, because when, you know, 15 years ago or 17 years ago, whenever the hell the show was on, when they were on bands, they were drunk every city they went to.
Right.
They got loaded and fought throughout every. That's why they won, because they didn't do anything they were supposed to do. They didn't sell merch. They didn't sell tickets. They got drunk, and then they would win every battle of the bands. That's how they won. That's how they won Bands on the Run, because they're a great band. So they wouldn't be lunatics like they were on the show, because they don't drink anymore.
Right. It could be a whole thing.
Oh man, please.
We should. Come on.
All right.
Come on, Flicker Stick. So, fan appreciation.
What's it called again? The Flicker Stick Reunion Experiment? What?
The Flicker Stick Reunion Concert Social Media Experiment.
We need to get this moving. I want to see Flicker Stick.
I do too. You know, I've wanted to see them now for 15 years.
Well, you've seen them twice.
I saw them twice, but it was a long time ago. I saw them right after the show ended when they won. I saw him at the Metro, and then I saw him again at the Metro about a year later. And they kicked ass both times. They were fantastic both times.
See, too bad festival season is pretty much over.
Yeah.
Because they could have...
They could have headlined Lollapalooza. It would have been Chance the Rapper...
I was thinking Retro on Roscoe, but all right.
Chance the Rapper would open for them. That's what I envision.
Not even from here?
No, right? Doesn't matter. Okay. They're from Texas.
You know, I've been looking at my Facebook, keeps popping this up because I'm a Third Eye Blind fan. But there is a band called XEB.
XEB.
Third Eye Blind, whatever the initials. They're all people who were in Third Eye Blind and are no longer, and now they're touring together, and I guess playing Third Eye Blind songs.
How many people are in the band?
There's at least four dudes, and I think they've all been kicked out.
God, it's like the drummers in Spinal Tap. What's going on there?
So I think it's all of them except, you know, the lead guy, Stephen Jenkins.
Well, he's too busy putting on straitjackets and dresses and stuff.
Right, I think he cleared house.
Yeah, well,
he's these guys.
He's evidently a loon.
Right.
So, all right.
The people are all about it.
All right. So, Third Eye Blind and...
Third Eye Blind and Flicker Stick could tour together.
And where's Saga going to fit into all this, damn it?
They, you know...
You can't...
They could switch, headlining right. back and forth.
Because you know Saga has to be in there somewhere. They're Canadian.
They would headline the Canadian
Of course they would. They would headline... Of course they would. Brian Adams is Canadian, too. Could you imagine how many chairs would be busted between me and Oaken at a Saga Brian Adams concert? The entire stadium of chairs would be broken between the two of us.
Records would be broken.
Records would be broken.
So many.
Guinness World Record for most broken chairs. If they get Saga and Brian Adams to tour together, just two people in the audience, me, Scott Oaken, all chairs destroyed, record set. That's it. All right, we got a break here for weather and traffic, and then we'll talk about more weird world records. What has Merle to buy that? Yeah, coming up. So, Esmeralda, this is the song that I couldn't think of, Fly Jam Bob. This is Gary Lewis and the Playboys. It's called Everybody Loves a Clown. So that's the song right there.
Oh, okay.
Go. There it is. There's your clown song. Everybody loves a clown. I hope he dedicated that to his dad.
That's the joke Fly Jam Bob make. He said, everybody loves a clown, except for Jerry.
All right. Everybody, it's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And Esmeralda, Would You Buy That is coming up. I just changed the name of the bit. Would Esmeralda buy that?
That's like you're asking me point blank.
Hey, would you buy that, Esmeralda? Come on.
That's how I envision their coffee talks going.
That's what Vic says to
her. He just gives me products, and he goes, right. Would you buy this?
And by the way, how many products again have been submitted by our fantastic listeners of this week?
Of our 8, 5.
Jeez. Wow, thank you guys.
Including one that is just involving teeth. That
yeah.
Is just spectacular.
Yeah. We'll get to that. That's coming up. Talking about weird, weird world records. Chris the Duchess Walton is the current Guinness World Record for holding the longest fingernails. Her nails, which she has been growing for 18 years, measure 10 feet 2 inches on her left hand and 9 feet 7 inches on her right. How do you live? How? How do you live? In February of 2013, 4,483 people hula-hooped for 7 minutes, setting the Guinness World Record for most number of people simultaneously hula-hooping. The event took place out the outskirts of Bangkok. Guinness World Record for most spoons on a human body belongs to Etibar Elkiev. He won the title with 50 metal spoons magnetized to his body. I bet that's a fantastic picture. Here you go, Esmeralda. 52 chefs set the world record in 2013 for the world's largest Cantonese fried rice.
Oh.
It served over 7,000 people, and it weighed 3,000 pounds. It was done in Costa Rica. Costa Rica, you know, the capital of Cantonese fried rice. Yeah. Hey, you know, Gordon Ramsay has this show that just it just finished its season. It's called The F Word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the he did a British version of it. And it's a competition show where two brigades in a kitchen have to serve his restaurant, The F Word. They have to serve 50 meals, and then one of the feedback from the customer is whether or not they would pay for the meal. And whoever has the most customers that would pay for the meal win. And meanwhile, in between that, there are filmed bits of Gordon on location, like hunting or doing some other things. And then, like, celebrities come into the restaurant. The British version is the best show that of the 900 shows that Gordon Ramsay has ever done. The British version of The F Word is the best, including, you know, Hell's Kitchen, including the Kitchen Nightmares and all that stuff. So they did an American version of it, and they just finished the first season, and it was really good. They did a good job. Fox did a good job. They kept true to what was good about the British version, but they added some stuff. Every week on the show, somebody came on and broke a world record. That's what they had a Guinness guy there, and every guy came in. So they had the woman who would. They had a woman. They flew her in. I can't remember what country. They flew her in because she's the best grape stomper in wine history. So they flew her in, and she had to break the record of how many ounces of grape juice would be in the bottom in the bottle while she's stomping the grapes. And she broke the record by like 3 ounces, 3 full ounces. It was insane. She's in there stomping around like a lunatic. Grapes are flying all over the restaurant.
Does she got big old feet?
No, she was like she was petite, actually. She was little.
Huh.
But she moved like a crazy person in there, stomping like her legs were going. It was crazy. And then Gordon broke a record on the last episode for longest sheet of pasta in 60 seconds. So he had to, you know, not an automatic pasta machine. He had a regular crank pasta thing, and he couldn't break. He couldn't have any holes in it or anything. And it had to. And he broke the record. So Gordon now owns the record for longest unbroken pasta sheet in 60 seconds. So they did that every week, and that was another part of the show that was really fun. Let's see. How about this one? In Northern England, Pete Glazebrook grew an onion which weighed a stunning 17 pounds to get the record holder for heaviest onion.
Now, did that just happen, I wonder?
Yeah, I don't know what.
How do you cultivate it
to
grow so big?
I don't know. Dan, can we call the Botanical Gardens right now? Can we do that?
Yes. Yes.
You ever see some of the vegetables at the Botanic Gardens, Esmeralda?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some of them are massive.
Who eats them?
You know, that's a good question. I would guess they donate that stuff.
Because the last time I was there, there were some big vegetables.
Massive, man.
Right, and they were just on the vines or whatever, the tree or what. I'm just like, are they going to pick these? They look ready to go.
I remember the last time I was there, I really felt like I was in an H.G. Wells movie. Like, it was like the land of the giants. I'm like, what the? Look at the size of that carrot. You know, I mean, it was seriously, it's insane. So I guess you can grow them. So anyway, all right, one more here. Beekeeper Xie Ping in China covered his body with 331,000 bees, 73 pounds of them, to break the previous record of 59 pounds of bees. I wonder how many times he got stung. So there you go. The guy had 73 pounds of bees on his body. There's a record that's pretty safe, I would imagine, at this point. All right. All right, we got a break. The news is coming up, and then after the news, it's time for Would Esmeralda Buy That? All right, news in 6 seconds.